I always look forward to being with you guys, and it's especially today in particular. It's going to be, I don't know, I'm excited for what we have to talk about. And to start, I just want to ask you one simple question, and that is, what do you know? Now, it seems simple enough on the surface, but what you know has a lot of implications. Some of us know more than others. Some of us think we know more than we do. But there's, if you think about it, there's so much into what do we know that's important. First of all, if you think about something about the fact that there's something that we all know that motivated us to get out of bed and join us together today. There's something that we all know that we share that made us do that. What you know usually has something to do with what kind of job you're qualified for. And how much you know about whatever it is you know about probably has some indication of how well you do your job, right? What you know can change your perspective. And your perspective can change based on what you know, right? So knowing stuff is important. It can change your attitude. Knowing something can change your attitude. It can also change your priorities. Sometimes your priorities will change based on what it is that you know. And it shapes our beliefs. And sometimes our beliefs can even develop. They can change based on what it is that we know. Knowledge is so very important. Matter of fact, if we can go so far as to say knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. There's a lot of truth behind that statement. Did you know that this is actually straight out of the Bible? You don't really think of, usually you think of corporate America or maybe the collegiate universities or something that would push this. But this is scriptural. We get right out of Psalms 24:5. A wise man is strong and a man of knowledge becomes powerful. So it's important to know, what do you know? And this becomes a theme in 2 Peter. When Peter writes this, he actually puts bookends on both the beginning of the chapter. He talks about knowledge, and at the end of it. We see that starting in the beginning, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteous of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. We're going to come back and revisit that later. But grace and peace be yours. This is our scripture for the morning. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Then we get this at the end of the chapter. He ends it by saying, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. And it begs the question, how do we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is there more to know about Jesus? And is there ever come a point when we've exhausted what we can know about Jesus? Is there come a point where we're so scholarly that we've memorized the scriptures from beginning to end? Is there a point when we can no longer grow in our knowledge of Jesus? And that's when I realized it's important to understand the word that Peter uses when he speaks about the knowledge. He uses a very specific word, which is epignosis. Epignosis. Yeah, I said it right. Gnosis. I forgot the S. Epignosis. Epignosis is a Greek word that's a very specific type of knowledge. This knowledge is knowledge that you gain from experience. It's an experiential knowledge. Okay? It actually means a higher form of knowledge that is rooted in first-hand experience. And what we realize is, I'm a teacher in my day job. There is a pyramid or a paradigm, if you will, of different levels of knowledge. And one of the most base levels of knowledge is just learning facts. So in elementary school, when we're dealing with little kids, we just teach them facts. We just teach them just the most basic knowledge that there is. Think about it. We teach them ABCs, right? They learn the ABCs. Do you think they even know why they're learning the ABCs? Do you think they have any concept that, oh, okay, so I'm going to use these and learn consonants and stuff, and then eventually I'll be able to read? No, they're just happy to sing a song that they've learned. A, B, C, D, right? Same thing with numbers. When we teach them numbers, these numbers, they don't understand math. They just want to learn how to count, right? We do this, by the way, and church. We teach the children basic knowledge. I remember when I was going through Bible school as a child, Bible hour or whatever, I learned the books of the Bible. Okay, and on a good clear day, I can still recite them. Okay, but when I was young, I could spit them out easy. Right, I learned all the books of the knowledge. I also learned the Lord's Prayer. I don't think I spent a lot of time contemplating on the importance of the significance of the Lord's Prayer, but I could recite the Lord's Prayer. I learned memory verses. You know, there's several that come to mind. John 3:16 is probably at the top of most people's list. We learn memory verses, and we learn Bible stories. These are all the most basic type of knowledge that there are. It's learning facts, right? But this isn't the type of knowledge that Peter is referring to. When he speaks about it in 2 Peter, he's referring to a higher learning. Oh, before we get to that, though, I do want to say that when we think about the most basic levels of the salvation process, it starts from knowing certain facts. And how do you learn those facts? How do you know them? But by hearing them, right? Or in some cases, reading them. But Paul speaks to this in Romans. He goes on to say, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So in other words, there's just some knowledge that we need to be exposed to when it comes to salvation. Chiefly, that we are all sinners, that we need a Savior, and we find that in Jesus Christ, right? But we come back to this paradigm, and we realize is that, again, this is not the level of that we're that Paul is talking about. He's talking about a knowledge that you can only gain through experience. Okay, so I'm gonna just to really make the point about how more evolved and how much more greater that knowledge is. Let's just consider this for 1 second. If you were to have a surgery coming up, let's say open heart surgery, okay, tell me who you would want to choose to do that surgery. You could start with this guy. He's a very nice nurse, okay. You'd like him, and he's maybe even an aspiring surgeon. Okay, you could choose him, or you could choose the valedictorian in the greatest University of Pittsburgh. I'm going to pick that one. That's where my son goes. He's studying to become a doctor. This person's studying and is on the dean's list. Would you choose this person? He knows everything that there is to know about surgery. He just hasn't graduated yet. Or would you choose the aspiring doctor? This young man desires to become a doctor. Or would you choose this guy? Now, before you choose this guy, I will tell you, does anybody recognize him? He's the guy from the Holiday Inn commercials that says that when he was asked, are you a surgeon? He's like, no, but I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night. And the tagline is, Holiday Inn Express won't make you smarter, but it'll make you think you're smarter. Okay, that's that guy. So would you choose any of those guys, any of these people to do your surgery? Or would you choose this man, who is the president of Jefferson Hills Hospital and has done over 30 years of surgeries and countless open heart surgeries? Which one are you going to choose to do it? These are all different levels of knowledge, but I would safely assume you want the guy who has the experience. You want the guy who has the experience. That's the knowledge we're looking for. Not, we don't need book knowledge. We want experiential knowledge. In my life, I'm a photographer. I'm a teacher. I'm a photographer. I'm a preacher. I wear a lot of hats. But I own my own photography company, and I get asked all the time about cameras, and you know my opinion on them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that much about cameras. I know a lot about the camera I use. So if you're in the market for a really high-end, expensive camera, come see me. I do have an opinion. But when it comes to other cameras, I really don't know much about any of the other cameras. So like, you know, your everyday point and shoot cameras, I'm actually probably not your guy, but people think I am because I have a lot of experience as a photographer. But we really are seeking people who have experiential knowledge. That's what we want, right? We want the experience. We just, not too long ago, my son had the opportunity to go to Colorado and train in the Olympic Training Center for wrestling in Colorado. Now, why would we spend all that money it costs to put him on a plane? We use points, but nonetheless, those were hard-earned points. But why would we send our son all the way across the country to go to this facility to train? He goes to practice every single day, right down the road. Couldn't I just buy him a book and have him tell him to go at it? What was the value in him going to Colorado? It was to have the experience, to have the experience. And we do this with other aspects of life as well. Think about it. We do it with restaurants. If you're going to a restaurant, you want to talk to somebody who's been there. What should I order off the menu? How is the service? Oh, the service is fantastic, or maybe not so much so. We want to know this, but we want to talk to someone who's actually experienced it, right? You don't really want to care when someone says, I've heard this place is good. Okay, I'll look into it, but that's not going to hold the weight as someone who says, this place is fantastic. It's our favorite place. We go there every Tuesday, okay? We want the experienced knowledge. Same thing with vacations, right? My brother-in-law and one of my really good friends I do a podcast with recently went to Jerusalem, and it was expensive. They spent 10 days over in Israel, but you can go on Google and find lots of good information about Israel and Jerusalem and stuff. What's the value in going there? But you know what? They went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they visited the open tomb, and they actually dipped in the Jordan River. And there's something to be said about the experience. So this is the case with everything in life, right? And to really make this point, I want you to think about if you were fortunate enough to go to Bible school as a kid, they teach you a song, right? And it's Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay. How do we know? The song tells us. Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Which is fine on a very elementary level. And I'm glad our kids are getting exposed to that. But is that how you know Jesus loves you? Jesus loves me, the Bible says it. Or have you experienced the love of Jesus? Do you know that because it's your actual experience? And there's a difference there. One of my favorite songs will make the point, the other side of the point, about the value of the experience part, and that is when I serve a risen Savior. And the song will go on to say, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, right? And he tells me I am his own, right? And then it ends with this question. You ask me how I know he lives? The Bible tells me so? No, that's not. You ask me how I know he lives? What? Finish it for me. He lives within my heart. People, that is a much deeper knowledge. That is a much more powerful experience, is the experience you have. That's how we can continue, after we learn everything that there is to know about Jesus, we can still grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Because we're experiencing him all the time. We could read it in scriptures. The Bible actually does tell us that Jesus is living and he's living in our hearts. We read in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. We read further, and one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible is John 14. We get this from Jesus himself. He says, and I will ask the Father, this is after he said he's leaving, and he's going to have to go and suffer and return to the Father. But when he does, he will go and ask the Father, and he will give another, a comforter, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But guess what? You will know him, right? What do you know? You will know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So we know that, okay, if you want to be that person who's just by the book, scriptural, this is scriptural. But if you really want to know Jesus, you want to allow him to live inside you and grow in that knowledge, right? So let's return back to 2 Peter now that we fully appreciate epignosis. We get this. To those who through the righteous of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. And that word struck me. You've received a faith. Now, what does it mean to receive something, right? And when I think of receiving something, I think of being given something, right? Think of like receiving a package. As a matter of fact, that package might even come with a sticker on it that says received. Okay, but the point being is your faith is something that was given to you. We don't often think of faith in that way. We often think of faith as something I developed or I determined or, I offered up as my own. I created it. No, you received your faith, right? That's what Peter's saying here. You received a faith as precious as ours. In other words, Peter recognized that the same faith that you and I have is the same faith that he had, right? It's a precious faith. He goes on to say, we are all here. Oh, so, and Peter got this from the fact that he had an experience, specifically that with Cornelius, right? And so God sends him to go have an experience with Cornelius, and Cornelius is a good man, a God-fearing man, but he only has base knowledge. He has that base level elementary knowledge, right? He doesn't know the fullness of it. Whereas Peter, he's starting to get these experiences. But Cornelius says, we are here in the presence of God to listen to all the Lord has commanded you to tell us. To which Peter responds, I now know that God does not show favoritism, but accepts everyone who fears him and does what is right. How does Peter know this? How does Peter know this? Did he come across a scripture in the Bible? Or did he experience it when God said, don't call anything that I've made clean, unclean? He had a new experience. And that's now how he knows that God does not show favoritism. But he goes on to say, you know the message God sent through the Jews, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. But remember, he's saying this to Cornelius and Cornelius' people. And that is the elementary. They don't have any other experience. They know this on the most base level of knowledge, right? Peter continues. He says, we are witnesses of everything Jesus did. If you're a witness, you've experienced some stuff, right? The Jews killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one God has appointed judge over the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that all who believe in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And then something awesome happens in the very next scripture. Then the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. In other words, they took this base level knowledge, they internalized it, and now they're receiving the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And what do you think that Holy Spirit's intentions are? But to come and to stay with them and to be with them and to guide them and to comfort them from that moment on. From that moment on, we're dealing with a whole new knowledge, right? Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized, for they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So what we see is we go from the learning facts about God to gaining an understanding of those facts. Once we understand those facts, and from that, we can now move up to a higher level of where we're evolving into a belief and having faith, right? So let's go back to our original scriptures. It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Again, we come back to this experiential knowledge, and what are we going to gain from that but grace and peace? And when I think about growing in grace and peace, I think and the life experiences that we're going to have, what I realize is we're going to gain knowledge through what we go through, and we're going to go through it in one of two ways. We're going to go through it the easy way or the hard way. But either way, you're going to gain knowledge from it. And that knowledge is where we grow in grace and peace. Now, if you learn the hard way, that's going to lend itself more to grace. And we're going to realize the richness and the fullness and the depth of God's grace, the grace offered by Jesus Christ. But if we can go the easy way, that is walking step in step, hand in hand, with our Lord and Savior. We're going to gain peace from that. And we're going to gain just joy, right? From learning and experiencing that from God. But Peter continues. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, his glory and his goodness, he has given us his great precious promises so that you may participate in the divine nature. Sorry, my watch is telling me my time's getting short. But what we realize is, okay, when you put that together, what we realize is through this experience that we're having as becoming Christians, we now are taking our knowledge to another level. And that is we are now practicing. We're practicing our faith, right? So we've developed, we got some facts, where we got some understanding. We now have a faith. And now we're practicing, specifically goodness, right? And to take it further, we get these applications that we can make. We practice what we preach. Okay, if we're talking about the goodness of God, that others should see it evident in our own life. And faith without participation or practice is dead. We know that the actual reference is faith without works or faith without deeds is dead. But is that not, in essence, participating in our faith, practicing our faith? And we also know that practice makes perfect. In other words, the more we practice it, the more we're going to get good at it, which is the goal is to find that goodness, right? And then that. And then from there, what should we be practicing? Well, glad you asked. This is the stuff that Peter's now going to say, make every effort to add these things to your faith. Well, we get goodness and knowledge, specifically epignosis knowledge. And then from there, we are now getting that epignosis knowledge, that experience, right? We talked about that. We're now experiencing the goodness of God. Goodness, knowledge. Next, we have self-control and perseverance. We're going to add from self-control, we're going to add perseverance, right? So we come back to our chart, and we realize the next thing is, once we've had this experience of knowledge, it's going to transform us. We're going to have a transformation. We're not going to be the same people we were before. We're going to be new creatures, if you will. We're evolving through these experiences. And then make every effort to add not just to the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, but now we're going to add to it godliness and mutual affection. Huh? And so what are we going to add to the top of this? Once we get to a certain point, we're going to add to that maturity. In other words, we become more and more godly through this transformation. The more we experience Christ in our life. But we're not quite done. We're almost done. But there's one more thing on the top, the pinnacle, that Peter says. And eventually what we're going to get to is having a love. And we're going to be able to relate with one another. That's a level that none of us have quite gotten to. We love to an extent, but we're talking about agape love, that selfless, transformative love that Peter says, if you mature and you reach all the steps, eventually the goal is just to be there in love in the same way that Christ loved us, right? To which in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul puts it this way. if I can fathom all mysteries and gain all knowledge, remember, we're talking about knowledge. If we gain all that, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, we gain nothing. We gain nothing. Further, it says, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray you are rooted in love with power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To which he completes that to say, and to know this love, that what? Surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So don't ever stop growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because there's always, we're always trying to get to that next level. And if we do, we see that there's a transformation that's going to happen. And we're going to eventually get to a point where we're experiencing maturity and godliness and hopefully the type of love that our God expects from us, right? Now, interestingly enough, there's one more thing I know about knowledge. And it actually is, it's not what you know, but who you know. And this is sometimes it's a hard reality that we realize, but there's a lot of truth behind it. I've learned this to be the case in my life. And when it comes to our relationship with God, nothing could be more true than this right here. Because there's only one thing that you really have to know, and that is Jesus Christ. And more importantly, Jesus Christ is to, if you know him, if you have that, then you have the most important knowledge that there is. That if you know everything that there is to be known on the internet, but you don't know Christ, it's not going to profit you any. Paul would put it this way: I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your knowledge lies. I started with the question, what do you know? And I'd be happy to talk to you about it, but the bottom line is the only one who needs to answer that question is yourself. Now, and do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, what are you waiting for? That's the beginning. That's the most base knowledge you need to know. Because if you let him into your life, if you accept him into your life, he will make himself, he'll come to you, he'll make himself known to you, and you will have the most awesome experience. And you'll gain so much knowledge in the end from it. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, great. But are you experiencing him on an everyday basis that in a way that I know he wants for all of us? Or are you just basing everything that you know from the Bible, which I don't want to take anything away from the Bible. Read your Bible. But that's not the fullness of the knowledge that we gain from God. If my kids wanted to know me, I hope they wouldn't go find a book written about me. I hope they wouldn't go grab my yearbook to study, to find out what they can glean from it. I hope they would sit down and spend time with me and ask me questions and listen when I speak, right? I don't know where you are this morning, but I hope that you're on a path where you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. If you have any need this morning, whether it is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's the time. We invite you to come forward. If you want to know him more in a deeper way, we want to encourage you in that respect too. Whatever your need might be, we invite you at this time to come forward as we stand and sing.